Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
Coming to you live from somewhere in Wisconsin, or unless you're listening to this later, then I don't know what to tell you. It's Chris and Ron Live.
Hello and welcome, Chris and Ron Live for Friday, July 26th, 2019. I'm Chris, joined by the titular Ron. How's it going, Ron?
I am very titular, yes. It's been a very long day.
Sounded like you were kind of tired when we talked earlier.
Yeah, I'm a little, it's going to be fun. I haven't been sleeping much. I binged The Boys, which we're going to talk about. That sounds really bad.
It does.
I went to a gay fuck club, I guess. I don't know. It's called DreamWorks.
DreamWorks.
I got met this great guy at DreamWorks.
So there goes Steven Spielberg ever being on our show.
Thanks, fine.
Ron. Thanks, Ron.
He can go fuck himself. We're starting off with a shotgun blast. Wow, right across the bow.
Yeah, that's pretty harsh. Pretty harsh. I did see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, so I got some thoughts on it. Maybe we can cover that later, but first, I know you're pretty excited to talk about The Boys. I haven't seen it. It's on my backlog. I think I'm going to move it up my backlog because it sounded like you were pretty into it.
You're a pervy.
Well, at least I'm not in The Boys.
Oh, you're a funny man. And we're live, right?
We're live.
Because it's not coming up on my end.
Because we're not live. I didn't click. What the fuck? All right, let's try this again. Jeez.
Now no one will hear me say what I said.
Well, you're going to have to redo it. All right, let's fuck it. That'll do. Why did it do that?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
Coming to you live from somewhere in Wisconsin. Or unless you're listening to this later, then I don't know what to tell you. It's Chris and Ron Live.
That's right. We are live from the heart of the Midwest. I am Chris along with the titular Ron. How's it going, Ron?
I'm so tired because I binged Boys.
You binged Boys.
The Boys. The new Amazon show.
Oh, the new Amazon show. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but it's in my backlog. It's something that I want to check out definitely for sure. I moved it up my backlog because it sounded like you were pretty excited about it. So
you're also a pervert moving things up your backlog.
Yeah, at least I'm not into The Boys. But we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. I also did get a chance to see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, so I got some thoughts on that. First, though, let's get into The Boys. Take it away. Take it away, Ron.
There's nothing you can say.
There's no way you can approach this.
No, not at all.
Without getting some hate mail or something.
Or ending up like Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear that he was sent to the hospital? He got, his ass beat in jail.
Darn.
Yeah.
A pedophile got his ass beat.
Yeah,
darn.
That's, you know, surprise.
Exactly. You go to jail for pedophilia, or
You're not gonna have a good time.
No, you're not gonna have. You're gonna have a bad time.
Yep.
You're gonna have a bad time.
Yep.
But what was I talking about? Oh yeah, The Boys. Fan goddamn tastic show. I'm gonna try my hardest not to spoil.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot to take in. This is not your mommy and daddy's superhero show. It's very, very bloody. And if you have, let's put it this way, if you have superhero fatigue,
mm-hmm.
all right, and you are trying to get away from everything like that, this is the show for you, because while everything looks perfect on the front, on the surface, with these heroes like Homelander, and Queen Maeve, and A-Train, and Translucent, I mean, he was a superhero, and his name is Translucent,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't even, and his power is invisibility. It doesn't even mean invisibility.
What are his powers?
Well, he can go. He's invisible when he's completely naked and he's not wearing clothes. He looks like the Invisible Man.
Oh, okay.
But
just like
skin,
I am, just like I am to my wife.
The Invisible Man. That's something you need to take up with her, pal. Anyway, let me get readjusted here on my streaming couch. And so he. How do I put this? He is kind of one of the catalysts for everything to start falling apart for these superheroes, because he gets caught by the boys, and they have to figure out a way to try and kill him. And he has carbon-based skin, like diamond skin. You can't get anything through it.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to find another way to kill him, and it is not pretty. And the funny thing about this, for fans of the comic, which is written by Garth Ennis and illustrated by Derek Robertson, the funny thing is the little, I guess I'll call him the lead, because it kind of focuses about what happened with his girlfriend, is Hugh Campbell. They call him Wee Huey. The best part about it is that his in the comic books, he's drawn to look like Simon Pegg.
Okay.
And obviously Simon is way too old to play the character now.
Mm-hmm.
So they fix that. Simon is playing Wee Huey's dad.
Okay, interesting.
So we're getting some really high quality actors for this Amazon show. Not that like Good Omens had some quality actors too, but I mean, we're getting Carl Urban, who's awesome. If you haven't seen Dread, what the hell is your problem? We're getting Jack Quaid, who, this is my first introduction to him, and I didn't realize that he was Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan's son. Mm-hmm. He's a really good actor.
Yeah, he's been in quite a few things. A lot of offbeat stuff. Like, he was really good in Logan Lucky. Small part in Logan Lucky, but that's where I remember him from.
Yeah, I have a love-hate relationship with Steven Soderbergh, so.
Yeah.
Well, that's something we'll get into later. Who else is in there? Elizabeth Shue. And then they have like little cameos. There's a mind reading soup. That's what they call them. Soup.
Mind reading soup. Ooh.
Yeah, and it's with a nice tomato bisque. And he's played by Haley Joel Osment, which is hilarious. The whole thing is about how cluttered superheroes are now when it comes to like marketability, and how they're actually using these real life superheroes to make movies about them and things like that. And it's just, I mean, Seth Rogen actually makes a cameo, and even though he's a producer on the show with Evan Goldberg, and Eric Kripke, the guy who created Supernatural. So,
okay,
there you go. I mean, that's kind of what you're going to get, and it ends on a cliffhanger, but luckily. It was picked up for season two before it even premiered, which is more than I can say for old Swamp Thing.
Yeah, and that's on Amazon Prime, right?
Yeah, it's Amazon Prime. All the episodes are up. It's fantastic, and it's so violent, so violent. And when you find out how superheroes are made in this universe, it might make your skin crawl.
Interesting. All right. Well, I'm gonna definitely check it out. It's only 8 episodes, so I probably
watch
that.
They're an hour. It's an 8 hours of your life that you'll gladly give up. And it's I just can't. I don't want to give away too much. But the way translucent. This is the only spoiler I'm gonna give. The way translucent fights it is some of the most disgusting stuff I've seen, and I look in the mirror and see myself naked every day.
So do I.
You look in the mirror and see me naked?
Every day. Every day.
So those are those eyes. Look, I thought it was the devil.
Well, you know, I've been called worse.
Fair enough.
So Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that's the big new movie at the theaters this weekend. Did I like it? Did I love it? What did I think? Well, I thought it was okay.
I don't know. What did you think?
I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was awesome. I didn't think it was fantastic. It was okay. It's worth seeing. Definitely check it out in the theater. It's one of the probably the best looking Quentin Tarantino movies. Like, they recreated 1969 Los Angeles like perfectly. Obviously, I've never been in 1969 Los Angeles, but it was just, they just transported you back to that time frame. What didn't I like about it? Now, I kind of struggled back and forth. Why didn't I like this as much as, you know, Quentin Tarantino's best movies like Pulp Fiction? You know, what was this missing? And I think the script was just the weak point on it. You know, this is Brad Pitt's best performance by far. It's his best performance of his career, which I guess, you know, that's not saying much because Brad Pitt's not really, I don't know, he's not really a great actor, I don't think. And this Leonardo DiCaprio was really good too, but it was the dialogue. I think the dialogue was weak. There were no memorable moments in this movie, like in Pulp Fiction, when Samuel Jackson's given that, you know, the Path of the Righteous Men monologue. There's no.
Wait. You're saying that a Quentin Tarantino movie has weak dialogue?
It did. There were no memorable like monologue moments like every other film that he has. They were just not there. And I think that's what I'm missing. That's what I was kind of expecting, and that's what I missed.
That is crazy.
It is. That's why I told you that this isn't your typical Quentin Tarantino film, and I think that's why, is, you know, we didn't have that smart dialogue. There were little hints of it here and there, you know, it wasn't completely non-existent, but there weren't any like solid monologues like, you know, that Path of the Righteous Men is beset. You know, there were no moments like that.
Right. I also think that from what I'm gathering from it, because I don't know when I'm going to get to the theater to see it. I have a very, very busy weekend, and I don't know. I'll see it, but I'm not in a rush. This isn't like Inglourious Basterds, where he could really kind of soak off the whole like hatred of Nazis thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I could give two shits about Sharon Tate. Mm-hmm. No offense, you know.
Yeah.
About speaking ill of the dead, but. Not according to Quentin Tarantino, but that's another thing that we should mention is that I know how it ends, but I'm not going to spoil. Mm-hmm. But think Inglourious Basterds when you think this movie.
Yeah, this was set in the Quentin Tarantino universe, and I knew that the films were kind of connected, loosely connected. You know, Vince Vega, Vic Vega, they were brothers, but I didn't realize the depths that Quentin Tarantino went to. To connect his movies, like the lawyer Saul Rubinek played a lawyer in True Romance. He's the son of Donnie Donowitz from Inglourious Basterds.
Well, son of a bitch.
Yeah, he's the son, and when in Kill Bill, I don't remember if it's Volume 1 or Volume 2. When the bride crawls out of her grave, she
Volume 2.
She you see this headstone. It's like Sarah Schultz or Polly Schultz or something. That's the grave of the wife of Christopher Waltz's character in Django Unchained.
Well, Jesus Christ.
Like, talk about foreshadowing. Like, all of his films have these little weird connections. There's a scene in Pulp Fiction where Uma Thurman's character is talking about this screenplay that she's developing about these, you know, crazy female ninjas, and that's basically the story of the Crazy 88s from Kill Bill.
Jeez. Like,
you can really go down a deep rabbit hole with the Quentin Tarantino universe. You know, I'm sure somehow that like Cliff Booth is going to be related, like the son of or the father of stuntman Mike from Death Proof, or brother or something. You just know they're connected, especially when you see the movie and you see...
Or he'll be his uncle or something.
Yeah, it's something. Because when you see Cliff Booth, you know, he's got this dark past that... I don't want to spoil it, but he did something really, really bad in his life. And the way the movie ends, like the third act of the film just gets ultra violent. And it, like...
Okay.
You just put this connection. Yeah, you know, that's probably Stuntman Mike's dad.
Oh, wow.
So it's just fascinating. Like, look up some videos on YouTube or do some reading, Google it, you know, the Tarantino universe, and you see all these connections that all of his films have. The Kill Bill and From Dusk Till Dawn are movies set in the Tarantino universe. So those are movies that, like, the guys in Inglourious Basterds would see, or, you know, Pulp Fiction guys would go and see. You know, they go and see Kill Bill, and you know, that's their movies.
That's crazy. That's nuts. And the thing about it is, though, is he's kind of backtracking with all this, because when he wrote Pulp Fiction, and she's talking about, like, you know, about all these crazy ninjas and all that, he didn't have Kill Bill done. Yeah, or even written. It wasn't even a thought in his mind. So what he's doing is he's playing backtrack. I don't think he had it all laid out, because he's too busy taking over podcasts to promote the New Beverly.
Well, I don't think he was doing podcasts back when he was doing Pulp Fiction.
Well, no, I'm talking about now. I mean, you know, it's...
Well, he's got to do something now that he's going to retire after his next movie, which I hope isn't the Star Trek movie.
Oh, my God, please don't let him make a Star Trek movie. I mean, Gene Roddenberry, please come back from the dead and stop this man. I beseech you. Let's hold a seance right now. Lord, please smite down Quentin Tarantino before he ruins Star Trek. Worse than J.J.
I don't know if I'd go that far. I think Quentin Tarantino is one of our best directors today. I'm really a big fan of Quentin Tarantino. Is he right for Star Trek, though? No, I don't think so.
Here we go in another argument then, because I do not think that Quentin Tarantino is the best director.
I'm not saying he's the best. He's the best. I'm saying he's one of the best.
Because I think, in my opinion, and this is a tough one for me, because I love them both so, I'd have to go with David Fincher as the greatest director right now.
David Fincher's, he's up there too. He's one of the best.
My other option was Paul Thomas Anderson. But the fact that I just kind of used the same tone as Zodiac from David Fincher in my last movie, I kind of side with him this time.
Yeah. There's a weird connection with David Fincher and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Do you want to know what it is?
Yes.
The same guy that was cast as Charles Manson, Damon Herman or something, he's also playing Charles Manson in the next season of Mindhunter.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
So that guy's Charles Manson all over the place this summer.
Well, and when it comes to Mindhunter, I love the show.
Mindhunter was really good, but he didn't create it. He just directed it.
Right, but my question about Mindhunter, though, let's just veer off for just a second if we could. Yeah. It's a great show, but do we need it?
Well, why not? Do we need anything? Do we need the boys?
Yes. We do, especially when Homelander shows up and tries to rape your wife. What? But that's besides the point. No, but it's like, it almost feels like it's trying to ape on the big superhero, or not superhero. See, it's all in my fucking brain, goddamn superheroes. The serial killer culture that's kind of hot right now. I mean, you've got a lot of podcasts, the true crime podcasts that are focusing on serial killers, and that's popular right now. I'm fucking tired. No, that's popular right now, and people are really, you know, balls deep into serial killers, and that's dark even for me, because this is, I remember when Richard Speck got loose after he killed those nurses in Illinois, and they said, oh, well, he's still out there, he might be headed north. My grandpa called my grandma from the fire department, told her to lock the door, keep the girls in, lock the door, and grab the gun.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, it's hot right now. Why wouldn't you? I mean, Mindhunter is a damn fine show. I don't know if you've seen it before, but it's a damn fine show.
Oh, I watched the whole thing. Yeah, it's but it's like, okay, so they established the profiling system. Mm-hmm. Okay, okay, but how far can you take something like that? You know what I mean?
As far as they want to. I mean, there's a lot of criminals. Are they gonna do
Dahmer? Really?
I don't think they'll do Dahmer. Dahmer wasn't alive long enough to really go through that much FBI profiling. I don't think he was killed pretty quickly in his prison sentence.
Yeah, and I have conspiracy theories about that whole thing too.
Well, I'm sure that there is something behind the scenes. He and Jesse Anderson were both, you know, accused of African-American crimes or crimes against African-Americans. And there was something behind the scenes.
Well, what I think is that they were going after Dahmer because they couldn't give him the death penalty. And what he did was so horrendous. And Anderson just happened to be there.
Yeah,
not that he didn't deserve it, too.
The two of them there together, that's, you know, that's very convenient. Very convenient.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, it's what it is, I suppose, at this point. But
we'll never know. We'll never.
Yeah,
know.
Yeah, no, we'll never know. And you know what? And I'll go as far as to say the world's a better place without both of them.
Yeah, I mean, we could have probably learned a lot from Dahmer.
And that's the thing about Dahmer is he didn't seem too. Like, you got a lot of these killers who are very, very volatile.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, Ted Bundy was, he was a fucking nutter butter.
He was crazy. Yeah, he was crazy.
You got Manson and Speck and Gacy and all these people. But Dahmer was very low key. Mm-hmm. He never raised his voice. He was very quiet.
Well, I guess, remember the reason that Dahmer was killed, or the reason the guy that killed Dahmer said that he was, taking his food and like making his food into the shape of little people, and he was like eating the legs and like showing people, oh, look at this, I'm gonna eat this guy's arm, like that, like just.
Wasn't he what's the word I'm looking for? Wasn't he kind of like sequestered from other people?
He should have been. I don't know if it was all the time, but I thought that he should have been.
And Dahmer should not have been somebody that was in Gen Pop.
No, he shouldn't
at
have
all.
Been.
Oh, that's just, I don't know. It's a bunch of weird stuff.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, those will be answers that we'll never have. So all that we can do is hypothesize.
Yes, we can.
But back to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the third act is where the movie really shined. Like, it really shined. I don't want to give away spoilers, but you know how the Tarantino universe can rewrite history. I think it was brilliant how he handled the Sharon Tate murders. Just brilliant. Absolutely loved it.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
Because that kind of changes things for somebody else in the current time now.
Yeah. Well, to all the people in like the Pulp Fiction time frame, Reservoir Dogs time frame, the way Hitler died is the way it happened in Inglourious Bastards.
Yeah.
Their timeline is, you know, different than ours.
Yeah, I suppose it is.
You know, and all these people that were having problems with, you know, Sharon Tate's dialogue, oh, she didn't get enough dialogue. Her dialogue was just fine. She talked when she needed to talk. That came out wrong. She talked when it made sense. She talked when it made sense for her to talk. You know, there were scenes of her being happy and dancing to music, and, you know, you don't need to chat anybody up when you're doing that, but her dialogue was just fine.
Okay, well, that's something to keep in mind when I do go see the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like the big complaint from people at cons is that Sharon Tate was kind of in the back seat and she didn't have enough dialogue, and I think she was just fine.
Well, I mean, not only that, but she wasn't as much as they make it look like it's an ensemble piece. She's not the lead.
No, she's not. She was. Yeah. I agree with people that say that she's symbolic of Hollywood at that time. She's the bright, shiny part of Hollywood at that time, and Rick and Cliff are kind of the dark underbelly of Hollywood.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. That's, whew. So it's almost a little too confusing sometimes, because I'm sure Death Proof is also in that universe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's just too much to think about.
It is. Yeah, it is. It's crazy. Like I said, if you start watching videos on YouTube and you start researching the connections, that's a rabbit hole that you'll fall into for a long time. Like, there's, I don't know if he just goes back, like when he's making his next film, he goes back and he nitpicks, you know, oh, well, there was this graveyard scene here in the tombstone. I can use that name and then they'll be connected. Like you said, I mean, how much does he foreshadow?
Yeah, I don't see how he could. You know, because he, I don't know, he's got a thing for feet too, which is kind of weird, but that's, you know.
Yeah, that actually shows in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood too. More than once.
I have a strange feeling that the 10th film by Quentin Tarantino will be involving,
it's just a foot fetish film.
Yeah, it's just like people walking with their no shoes on.
And yeah, it was. Yeah. There were, I think, two scenes where you see people with their feet up. You know, they take their boots off or they take their shoes off, and they've got their feet put up. And he really like highlights the feet. So it is a little creepy, knowing that Tarantino has a foot fetish.
Ew.
But what are you gonna, what are you gonna do? There was a good foot fetish.
Go ew.
There was that Uma Thurman. You know, she took her shoes off. And Pulp Fiction.
Well, so now with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, an obvious ape of Leone's Once Upon a Time in America, Once Upon a Time in the West, mm-hmm. because, you know, he's having a hard time coming up with stuff.
Yeah. Well, spaghetti westerns play a big part in the film, too, so that could be why he titled it that. Because Rick Dalton, you know, he's a washed-up actor. He used to star in the 1950s, he starred in the number one Western show on TV, and now he's just doing bit parts. You know, he's playing the bad guy in, like, episodes of FBI and Mannix and just, you know, not a star anymore. So he's convinced finally to go over to Italy to be in spaghetti westerns, and he kind of finds a new career in these spaghetti westerns. So there's actually some really good scenes where he's playing in these Western TV shows, and like his acting, Leonardo DiCaprio's acting is like really, really good in those. So
I'm kind of shocked that his acting is good in this one.
Yeah,
he's only known for screaming.
Yeah, he was really good in that.
That's crazy. That's crazy, crazy, crazy talk.
Yeah, it is. My favorite DiCaprio film is probably The Revenant. I really like The Revenant.
Yeah, Revenant. Wow. I've only seen it once.
The Titanic, I thought, was overrated. I thought.
I'm not a Titanic fan of the Titanic.
Yeah. And then the thing he took, the movie he took after Titanic, The Beach, was just horrible. I couldn't figure out why the hell the hottest actor in Hollywood would pick a film like The Beach. It was just a bad movie.
I have no idea. I'm trying to think about another good DiCaprio performance, and I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, there's The Wolf of Wall Street was pretty good. I liked him in Shutter Island, Scorsese's Shutter Island. I thought that was pretty good.
Oh yeah, I like Shutter Island, yeah. And I think he has to have the right director.
Yeah, with Scorsese, he's really really good. I really like his Scorsese work.
Yeah,
The Departed was good too.
Yeah, but that was him screaming a lot.
It was him screaming a lot, yeah.
My name is Leonardo DiCaprio. Brr.
But Brad Pitt. This is definitely Brad Pitt's best performance. And the soundtrack to that movie was incredible, too. The number of licenses that they must have gotten. I mean, it must have been in the seven figures. Must have been in the millions of dollars. Because I don't know if you know how expensive licensing music is for film and TV, but it's really expensive.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah, and they had a lot of good songs in it.
Well, they always do have good songs in Tarantino movies.
Yeah.
That's never an issue.
This one really stuck out, though. I don't know why, but this one, it really stuck out to me. And the film, it looked amazing. Like, I don't know how they were able to recreate 1969 Los Angeles the way they did, but it was incredible. Definitely want to see it on the big screen. I think I'm making it sound like I liked it more than I did. I thought it was an okay movie. It was good. I recommend seeing it, but it wasn't great. It wasn't Pulp Fiction great, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. But I also don't think Pulp Fiction's all that great either.
You're not. You're just not a Tarantino fan.
I like Inglourious Basterds quite a bit.
Yeah.
What else do I like that he's done? Can I count movies he wrote?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. True Romance was awesome. True Romance was awesome.
Yeah, that's...
He had a choice to direct... I just found this out. He had a choice to direct True Romance or Reservoir Dogs. And he chose to direct Reservoir Dogs. So could you imagine True Romance directed by Tarantino and Reservoir Dogs directed by Tony Scott?
I don't know. That'd be a weird... I can't.
That would be weird. I couldn't imagine Reservoir Dogs directed by anybody but Tarantino.
Oh.
But we don't have to worry about that because we got what we got. So
yeah, we have what we have, just, and we deal with what we deal with, and all that kind of stuff. So don't forget to head over to our Discord page. The link is in the chat room over at twitch.tv/ChrisandRonLive. Yeah. You can call in and talk to us and tell us how stupid we are, and ask us what's wrong with our face, and things like that. with the answer to which is absolutely nothing.
Yeah, we'd love to. We'd love to take your calls. Jump into the voice channel, and we'll take your calls, and you can be live on air with us, and all that jazz. And we'll we'll make fun of you and ridicule you, and
and say you have bad taste in movies.
Yeah,
because like Rob Gordon said in High Fidelity, it's not what the person's like; it's what they like.
There you go.
That's right. And also, don't forget to follow us here on Twitch. We need all the followers we can get. And go back and watch videos if you haven't seen them here or over at youtube.com/. Well, actually, we won't have a forward slash yet. We have to hit a certain amount of subscribers before we get a forward slash. Just type in Chris and Ron Live. Yeah, on YouTube.
We're there. Or we have links on our Facebook.
Yeah.
And we should get that up on Discord, too. I should list that. Whenever I post a new video on YouTube, I'll put that on the Discord channel.
Fantastic. There you go. Fabulous. And it's a lot of fun. We'll interact with you. We'll, have you heard of Rabbit?
I might have. Which Rabbit are you referring to?
Oh, the one that women. No, the one where we can all watch movies and everybody's in the chat room.
Yeah.
Maybe we should set up like some screenings and show some stuff. That would be kind
of
cool.
That would be a lot of fun. I'd be down for that.
I think so. That way not everybody has to have Netflix or Amazon Prime. They can just show up and watch it. And
what's the legality with that? Can you stream anything? Or
I think we can stream anything because we're not charging.
Okay.
And we're not we're not making any money off of it. So
no. Well, shit, I'm down for that. I could stream a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, there you go. See. We got all sorts of stuff, so if you want to see something like that, head over to our Discord and leave us a comment, and don't forget to follow us on Twitch, and I am so out of it today. I don't know what's going on with me. I said I'm mumbling wordly things.
You just need to do some cocaine before Monday's show.
I will do plenty of cocaine before Monday's show. I will. I'll do tons, and please forgive us this weekend if you feel like we're spamming the hell out of our show. We are trying to get the word out as best we can. We're a two-person operation with 50 million people ideas.
Yeah.
Because we got a lot of shit to say, and it's just us. So yeah, we
could definitely use the help spreading the word. Share us all over your social medias. We're really looking for followers on the Twitch channel. We want to make the Twitch channel grow.
Yeah, the Twitch channel is definitely the most important one. So if you haven't started watching there, or if this is a replay or whatever, and you like what you hear, just hit that heart, you know. And if you're watching this way in the future and we have a subscribe button, don't forget to hit that too.
And if you're watching this way, way, way in the future and I'm dead, please remember me.
Yeah, I mean, that's important too, I suppose, a legacy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Leave something behind. All right, Ron, you want to wrap things up? You sound like you're about ready to go and fall over.
I have fallen over. That's why I'm on the couch.
No.
Let's do our recommendations for people to watch this weekend. What do you got?
I'm going to recommend Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It was a good movie. Definitely something you want to see on the big screen just for all the visuals and the, you know, just take it in on the big screen. Not a great movie, but a good movie. Still one that you want to check out.
Okay, and my recommendation, this is kind of weird, but it's still a narrative story. If you have Snapchat, search out Apocalypse Goals. It's Sydney Heller and Olivia De Laurentiis. And Olivia De Laurentiis, believe it or not, is Diane Franklin's daughter. And when you watch it, you'll look at it and be like, yep, that's definitely Diane Franklin's daughter. But it's a great little show about these two girls coming back from Vegas after a bachelorette party and aliens attack and they start vaporizing people in California. And it's the things that they go through to try and survive to get to a pizza place in Arizona that has a doomsday bunker underneath it. But the bunker is only available to customers. So they placed an order for a pizza, and they said, "Well, it'll be ready in 15 minutes." Like, "Oh, all right, we'll see you in 4 days." You know, so it's funny. It's really quick, but new episodes are out, I think, every other day or something like that. It's really funny, and that's what I think you should check out.
Interesting. They have shows on Netflix or Snapchat?
Yeah, they have Snapchat Originals. Trust me, I'm thinking of things.
Did not know that. That's something I learned today. And I hope you learned that too, people. They have original shows on Snapchat.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe I'll be inspired to make a Snapchat show.
There you go. Awesome. All right. Well, there you have it, folks.
Yes, you can find me over at Twitter and Instagram at RealRonPertee. Where can people find you on the online,
you Christopher? You can find my Twitch channel, www.twitch.tv/arthriticzombie, all one word. And I'm on, check us out, Milwaukee Twisted Dreams Film Festival. That's my big film festival. Ron's been in it. He's had a couple films in. Might have something in the future. I don't know. We'll see. But check us out, Milwaukee Twisted Dreams FF, frankfrank.com, or check us out on Facebook, Twisted Dreams Film Festival.
Or Fantastic Four. Before we go, I have one thing I have to ask.
Okay. You can ask me anything, Ron.
This year, if I get in,
yeah,
all right, and at the end of the Wisconsin short film block, you always have the filmmakers come up,
yep,
and talk. This year, can you just have the filmmakers come up and talk and not have them bring the entire fucking cast?
Well, that's kind of like the time that they want to bring, or well, I guess some, because I won't say everybody, but they want to bring up the people that helped make it. You know, they want to give them that time to shine. They want to give them that spotlight.
That's all well and good, but sometimes that stage was really crowded this year, last
year. Yeah, we had a lot of visiting filmmakers. We'll look at it. We'll see. But, you know, we want to give everybody that helped make it, you know, we want to give them that little 5 minutes of fame.
And it's like, hey, everybody, here's my sound recordist.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's, I don't know. It's just, yeah. I can see a couple people, but that stage was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was. We had a lot of people. So, and I think
I don't love all of you, because you're all amazing, but it was that stage was a little crazy.
Yeah, but it went over well. Who did we have to do our Q&A this year? Who?
Danny.
Danny, it was Danny, yeah.
Yeah, so. But, all right, well, everybody, that's the show this week. I figure Chris opened it. I can close it because I don't need an audio cue to close the show. To tune in next on Monday at, you want to just do it at 9 o'clock?
Yeah, 9 o'clock works for me.
All right, perfect. Now, Monday at 9 o'clock Central Standard Time, and we will talk about everything crappy that's happened over the weekend.
All right, on that note, everybody take care. I hope you guys had an awesome time listening to us. Tune in again on Monday.
Bye.